And you know what I'm going to just throw out is that if anyone enters paradise with a let's go baby, then it's going to be a no for me. It's going to be, I'm out. I'm just out.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon.
New setting, new show. Same drama.
It's Colton and Tia, the spinoff.
And, you know, 20 or so other really hot singles on a beach.
Yeah, we barely saw them. But honestly, I'm just so happy. I know Emma's so happy to finally be in paradise, even if all we do is talk about whether Colton and Tia can figure it out for another month.
And grocery store Joe, of course, the real star of paradise. But here to help us kick it all off, it's Bachelor tweeter extraordinaire and, you know, BuzzFeed community manager, Brett Vergara.
Hello. I can't wait to talk about grocery store Joe for an absurd amount of time.
Oh, we know. I've been giving you shit about your tweets for months now. At least they're now appropriate because he's actually present on this show.
I mean, fair.
Not super present, but like enough, physically but literally there. Present. He's literally there. Unfortunately, we have to start with some off-screen news.
Yeah, so there has been an update as of yesterday, or I guess actually like 12:50 a.m. today. TMZ reported that Leo, who we talked about on our finale episode, is being officially investigated for sexual harassment by Universal Studios, where he has been employed as a stuntman. Apparently, an HR complaint was filed on Friday by someone who, quote, claims to have witnessed Leo making several women uncomfortable on the set with excessive hugging and unwanted flirting. The complaint also mentioned Leo sliding into women's DMs and making them uncomfortable with conversation, end quote. Apparently, this alleged behavior went down, according to TMZ, at the end of 2017 when Leo was working on the show Waterworld, so before Bachelorette filming. And it seems that this complaint was filed perhaps in part because other women have, you know, come forward via, as we said, Becca Martinez and Ashley Spivey with sort of similar allegations. So we will definitely keep you guys posted on how this unfolds. Leo told TMZ that he was not aware of the new allegations, but Universal told TMZ that they were, quote, aware of the situation and have taken appropriate actions while the matter is under investigation. So it seems that he has been put sort of on probation at his job until it's resolved. So, yeah, we'll keep you guys posted.
So it's interesting to see that sometimes these things do end up trickling through into the real world in that way. And it's good to see it being taken seriously. So let's get into
some more lighthearted fare. Yes. I have to admit, I'm so excited to talk about Paradise and not Garrett's DM. I mean, DMs, Jesus. Not Leah's DMs, Garrett's Instagram likes, whatever.
It's hard to keep track.
I just want to focus on, you know, Tia and Colton and
until Leo shows up.
Store Joe. We'll get to that later. But it is just nice and refreshing to talk about a show that just at least feels a tad bit more fun.
No, and I will completely echo that. Like, even watching last night, I was like, this just, like, feels good again, you know? Like, because this past season has just been kind of, you know, just, like, progressively slower, progressively a little bit more like, oh, my God, okay. Like, this is, we just need to move on to Paradise. So now Paradise is here, and now we're here talking about it. And, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, I feel like the fact that Paradise comes right after The Bachelorette gives The Bachelorette such a different cadence than The Bachelor, where even if we're bored by the season of The Bachelor, it's the last thing we're going to get for a while. So we're sort of still excited for the finale. And with The Bachelorette, it's often sort of like, I'm looking past this at this point.
Yeah, okay, you guys are engaged. Great. We're done with you. On to the next. But bikinis.
Just another way that women are shortchanged in our society. Okay. So what did you guys think of the intros this season?
More pillow fights.
I thought that John's was great. I thought that Joe's was great.
Counting money. Course.
Was he counting euros or like Monopoly money?
I thought it was Monopoly money. I'm trying to reflect back.
It was very colorful money. It was not... Right. It was not, did not seem to be Mexican or American.
I'm going to go with Monopoly currency. Money. Yeah.
But it wasn't as small as I would expect, like board game money to look.
True.
It really looked like euros to me.
I feel like they maybe just made their own. Just like Bachelor Bucks.
It's what
like
Venmo
that.
Money looks like in real life.
No, right. That's the only.
You thought it was all digital, but in fact.
You have to be one of the first 10 people to have actual Venmo cash.
Is it actual money? I'm watching it again.
He's counting his Venmo stocks.
Definitely the size of actual money, but colorful. But there's not enough details in this footage.
I mean, a lot of countries have colorful
money.
Well,
I know. That's what I'm saying. It might be actual currency.
Yeah.
John, if you're listening, please let us know.
We want to know how many countries you have a lot of money in. Yeah, and any other? Crystal had like glitter explosion, of course. Grocery store Joe is holding a paper bag of produce that then like the bottom rips out and whoops, his fruit goes everywhere.
I was into it. I was into it.
Tia is the all-American girl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I felt like I was being like, is she just more American because she's from the South? Whatever. And Will's is fishing in the pool with
that one was cute.
Yeah, a lot of just cute little ones. I want to point out that Chelsea's is so awkward. Like,
is she just like holding a drink?
She's holding a drink and just sort of smiling really tensely. And I wondered if they had tried to get her to do something more fun and it didn't work out, or like, she right, like wasn't into it.
Yeah, here's the backup.
Yeah. All right. I wish that I could try to recreate this smile visually, but you guys can't see. But it was fun. They did more intercutting the intros with pillow fights and people skipping along the beach hand in hand. Mm-hmm. Very cute. And then Chris gets a whole welcome scene. He's laying out the pillows on the beach chairs. He's giving a monologue about the recipe for the perfect bachelor summer.
This show is really where Chris Harrison shines.
Yeah.
He seems more relaxed. He has more to do.
He gets
to hang out on a beach or in an air-conditioned hotel. Like, he has the best job.
It really makes me imagine another less glamorous but maybe more fulfilling life for Chris as the innkeeper on, like, a Greek island hotel or something.
And he could just tell stories to the guests, offer advice.
He always
and
has
wisdom.
A great restaurant recommendation.
And he can get, like, little lines in there, like, oh, I ordered the chicken. Oh, you know, just Chris Harrison's really just laid back and shining.
Yeah, he's just making everyone feel like they're having the best vacation of their lives. And
just like the uncle checking in on everybody, making sure everyone's good. And, yeah.
I know. It's beautiful to see. And then we get some reintroduction packages, mostly of people that we already remember extremely well and not of any of the new people.
Like Angela.
Angela.
Whoever Angela is.
Let's keep reintroduced to Angela.
Who is Nisha?
I need to.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember Nisha a little
bit. Nisha did get a package when she came on Ari season. I don't think Angela even
did. I have no memory of either of them.
Was she the nurse?
Nisha was the nurse.
Right.
Oh. She's wearing a stethoscope.
Is she the one? Was there a blood something?
Yeah, I think, where she was, like, obsessed with blood.
She was obsessed with blood,
like
yes.
And also skydiving, I think.
Oh, okay.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Angela, I remember nothing. Like, there's nothing.
Not one memory.
There's nothing at all.
And what I'm seeing of her so far, not my favorite.
Yeah,
so.
You know, I mean, we'll give it a few more
we'll give it some time.
Weeks if she makes it that far.
Yeah, I want to. So I'm not sure if there are any other standout intro packages, but.
They all just seem to have.
Kevin. We have to talk about Kevin.
Oh, Kevin.
We have to talk about Kevin. So I haven't. Here's the thing. I haven't been following the Ashley and Jared saga too closely. I think when I saw they had posted a 45-minute video about their relationship.
I did. I hate myself and I did watch it.
I was like, amazing. I can't do it. I refuse.
I feel like I made it like halfway through and I like fast forwarded a little bit, but I feel like I got like the good. I don't know. I need to go back and.
Really, well, I mean, like it reminds me of those wedding websites where, you know, there's the like about us, about our relationship section, and you expect like two paragraphs and instead it's like five pages long.
Yeah, see, I don't ever read
No
those.
One cares about your second date.
There's something about a video, though. It was just like once I was watching it, and I was like in bed, and it just was, you know, just escalated to the full 40 minutes.
But this is like why everyone's pivoting to video.
I feel like we do have to unpack Kevin's little line there of like, oh, and apparently Ashley and Jared are together.
Right. So I want to say that I did watch the video, and I did listen to Ashley, I, and Ben's podcast where they address this. So I feel like have a little insight from her perspective.
So just to be clear, what happens is that Kevin, in the intro, just to tee this up, he says he knew he wanted to like marry Ashley based, he was really into Ashley based on their time on Winter Games. But then Jared decided he wanted to be with Ashley, and now they're together. And he's, you know, heard about how that relationship started, and he thinks kissing another guy while you're dating is cheating, just FYI. But he's ready to move on.
And also the way he said it, too. Like, that really needs to be highlighted, too, because it was, like, real just...
It was interesting because he has been on a few podcasts, given public statements, and been really publicly supportive of Ashley and Jared. And very, like, I remember feeling just, wow, what a classic, kind Canadian. I'm surprised he's not a little bit more pissed.
It's like, wow, what
so
a mature way
maybe,
to...
Maybe there is a little bit of anger, which would be...
Fair.
Totally fair.
Yeah.
It. My understanding from what Ashley said is first that she did call Kevin directly before she and Jared went public. So when he said, I heard through the Bachelor grapevine that they were together, she says they talked directly.
But it's possible that he heard through the grapevine before they went public.
Perhaps.
Because I think other people in Bachelor Nation knew before, or in the Bachelor
Network. That's totally possible. So that's one thing. The other thing was that she kissed Jared while dating Kevin. That was actually addressed in the initial video. They've been really transparent about it. Basically, Ashley, Jared, I think Jade and Tanner, maybe a couple other people, had gone on a vacation right after Winter Games had filmed. So she and Kevin had been dating post-Winter Games for maybe 2 or 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And during that trip, Jared confessed his feelings to her. And then in the airport, he kissed her. Mm-hmm. And she didn't stop it. And then she, I believe, told Kevin about it and said to Jared, like, that was a mistake. And I'm going to pursue, see how my relationship with Kevin plays out. Of course, about like a month or two later, in March. So that was, I guess, January. In March, she broke up with Kevin.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
So she was like, yes, I understand that in a lot of people's definitions, that would be cheating. It was a moment of passion that caught me off guard. And, you know, now he's my fiance. So she's like, you can totally feel that that is cheating. That's people's prerogative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I feel like Ashley would be incredibly judgmental of that if it was someone else, like Kayla. So I'm not like super inclined to be, but like, it's not the end of the world. I think more, I wonder if Kevin is a little bit uncomfortable now. Like, he was supportive, he was nice, but he's sort of, I feel like my reaction would be sort of like, why is everyone so happy for them? Am I just collateral damage?
Right.
Where am I in all of this?
Yeah. Right.
He might
and
be getting a little
is.
More pissed than he was initially because he's been kind of brushed aside as like a non-factor.
Yeah. It might just be
or
like
a burned-out thing, too.
He's
sort of being framed as the stepping stone to the Ashley and Jared love story. And I can see why that would be very, very frustrating.
Yeah.
I also don't think that someone kissing you and then you being honest with your partner about it after 2 weeks of dating is necessarily like...
It's definitely not like the end of the world.
Yeah.
So that was just a weird... And it definitely caused a stir. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think Kevin is just trying to stir up drama. Also possible. What else? He also apparently is into Crystal. Crystal is a surprisingly hot commodity. I was surprised by how many guys were on board with Crystal.
Well, there's Kevin, there's Joe. Who else we got who was like going after Crystal? Was it just those two?
They might have been the main ones.
Maybe a few other people said, "Oh, Crystal caught my eye."
Right.
Yeah.
Kenny on Ben and Ashley's podcast said Crystal was the one who like first caught his attention. Mm-hmm. So I totally believe that she is quite magnetic in person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we get caught up on Chris, who has decided to nickname himself the Goose.
I guess. And now has a squad. Just
the Goose Gang. Yeah, the Goose.
Is it the Goose Gang?
I think it's the Goose Gang.
What is the Goose Gang?
Well, okay. I kind of missed it. But there's something about how he was flying south for the summer and he was on a swan boat. And I was like, is it just from that? Or is it because he acted like a goose?
Also,
in which case,
why
would you lean into that?
Did he give himself the goose name? Or, that was another thing I was wondering, too.
I don't recall anyone else ever using it.
I mean, we love a good, self-appointed nickname.
Oh, it's my favorite.
Just, I am Goose. I am now Goose.
But, I love watching people try to make it happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's great TV.
But he's extended it to other people. He's recruited other men into this
goose
nickname.
Gang. Yeah. Yeah. We get caught up on David, who made a really interesting choice.
That package was something.
He's the male Corinne.
Yeah.
And again, Corinne portrayed herself as a businesswoman, mm-hmm. but seemed more like someone who lived off her parents' money and was taken care of all the time,
And he's just, really leaning into the being taken care of all the time bit.
I guess I appreciate the honesty.
Yeah,
he's
right,
dropped venture capitalist from his bio.
I have heard through the grapevine, through people who know him, that he's not very successful professionally.
That makes sense.
But does have money. So I think that was reflected, perhaps, in this intro package.
Yeah.
It definitely was a producer's idea to do this package,
but
why would he agree to it?
Yeah,
and why would his mom agree to it?
If
I'm his mom, do I want to be on TV bringing him cookies on demand and folding his laundry?
I guess yes. If you are her, yes, because she did it.
Yeah.
Just you want the recognition for, what you've had to put up with.
Yeah.
I mean, cut him off. He rings a bell and says, can I have cookies? Say, get yourself some cookies, dude. Preferably go out and make some money and buy them yourself. He says his mom is his best friend and he's already in paradise, but unfortunately he can't marry his mom. So I guess he has to find another hot woman with lots of money who isn't genetically related to him.
Yeah, once again, interesting choice. Interesting choice.
Who else do we catch up with? We learn that Annalise is afraid of unrecyclable plastic and redheaded men.
And birds. Honestly, the birds fear, they're flying dinosaurs. It's fair. we really should all be afraid of birds.
Yeah. I mean, has anyone seen the birds?
I mean, fair. You know, it's just stay alert.
Vigilant.
There were so many packages that I'm just completely overwhelmed.
Who was compelling
in their packages?
Bibiana is just a personal favorite of mine. She
was
one of the stars of this episode for me.
Yeah. Well, she definitely decided that this is her time to shine. She went on Winter Games, but she's more of a beach girl.
Mm-hmm.
I see her on Instagram posting lots of bikini shots.
She does live in southern Florida, right?
Yeah, so she feels comfortable with her suitcase full of bikinis.
She's in her element.
Yeah.
She just had a lot of good one-liners. I loved the failed joke she made to Chris Harrison when she entered. And then I love that they showed the exchange with the producer being like, wait, that was a bad joke. That wasn't good.
I love the producer support. You know?
Yeah. She comes, she tells Chris the road to get to the beach was so bumpy. It was the most action her uterus has seen in a while. And he's like, huh?
What?
I don't know what that means.
We see her and I didn't get it. I first thought that she was saying that Winter Games was the bumpy road and that it was...
But she meant a literally bumpy road.
Right. And apparently that really went right to her uterus in a way that it doesn't for me when I'm on a bumpy road. And she's like, well, he didn't get it. Was it not a good joke? And the producer's like, it was a good joke. And she said, it wasn't a great joke, though. Nice self-awareness.
Yeah.
She's workshopping.
I thought it was very charming.
It was a good start. Great start.
Sorry. Skipped ahead. The first person to the beach is Tia, of course.
Yep.
Yeah.
They always stack at least with the women, I think, or they put some of the central, the people they think will be the central characters mm-hmm. come in first. We get a lot of time with Tia, a lot of time with Kendall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tia straight up tells Chris she wants a boyfriend or fiance like Raven at the mm-hmm. end of Paradise. She's insanely excited. And then the next person is Eric, who is doesn't just seem excited, but like a little hopped up. He's like, I'm an open book, baby. Just read me, read me, read me, read me. It took me a second to figure out what he was doing.
Yeah, fair.
And he goes to talk to Tia and he's like, you have nice teeth. Did you have braces? And she's like, yeah.
Yes.
Great first connection.
Very smooth. Yeah.
And he says, I like her teeth. I like her feet. I like her nice hair.
Her body. He's just giving her the full, like, horse inspection. Like, is this livestock I would purchase?
Next, the answer is yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the men would go in on Tia. Next is Kendall. I loved her dress. She had a great, like, red mini dress on.
So cute. There was some wrap around the middle, little yeah. cutouts.
Very Paradise aesthetics.
Super
yeah.
cute.
Yeah.
She and Astrid had my standout outfits. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think a lot of people come in with, like, the bikini top and shorts. So if you can stand out a little with a really beachy dress, I think that's smart. Next is Jordan in one of his classic J. Crew factory summer catalog looks.
A place as beautiful as me. Finally. Oh, Jordan. He had workshopped that one.
Oh, yeah. He came in with the lines. So many.
And I always forget that the women are meeting a lot of the guys, the ones who have been in the most recent season, sort of blind
right,
about
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
So they have no idea, you know, who was the villain, who didn't come off well, because they've only seen the first two episodes,
yeah,
probably, mm-hmm. of the season. So, you know, that works in people like Jordan and Chris's favor.
Mm-hmm. And there was something really an amazing moment when Jordan is sitting with the group that's there already, and Tia says something that he mishears
it's
as
not villains. Oh, yeah.
he's like waiting to address it. Like,
yeah,
okay.
And he's like, what? Villains? Who's talking about villains? Anyway, it's fun to just sit down with the villains and see who they like really are.
They're
don't
like
you think?
Actually people, you know, like just it's all about perspective.
Now that you've brought up villains, I think it's important to note that sometimes a villain isn't quite what they seem to be, and like maybe they have a heart of gold. So immediately they know that he was a villain this season.
No, and you know what was so like Tia? Yeah, Tia was like, oh, so you were like the villain, weren't you? And as someone who was like a little mixed on Tia, like during her season, like she is like shining so far in Paradise for sure.
Yeah, she's kind of the Bachelorette of Paradise
yeah,
at this 100%. Point, which is, I mean, definitely what she wanted. So like, I'm glad that it's working out. She did have a rough night, though, and we'll get into that. And Jordan talks to Bibby a little bit. He thinks she's hot.
You can tell Bibby, Anna, is just completely amused by Jordan because she starts asking him, like, teach me to model.
Yeah. She has a lot of lines about how she's going to pick. She says she's waiting for the hoo-ha to whisper. This one is a good one.
Fair enough.
Following that vagina.
Also, Jordan had a really great line here where it was like, oh, what's in like Southern Florida
River?
Or whatever. It's like, oh, was it beaches? Beaches, manatees, and me or something like that.
Yeah. He's the shining star of Crystal River.
Had that one in the pocket.
Oh, kayaking, manatees, and me.
Beaches are all, I feel
and
like.
And apparently also just a really bustling market for male models.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's just the one
he's
male model.
He's the only
model.
Crystal
the
River
star
male
The market
model.
Only supports one male model in Crystal River, and it's me.
And that is why Wilhelmina is the top.
Yeah, exactly. And Will shows up in camo shorts and a very bright flowered shirt.
Just
he's bold.
Going for it. Just really.
I'll support all of Will's.
Yeah, same.
Will's fashion choices. Mm-hmm.
Can do no wrong.
Yeah. On board.
Wills and Wells meet face to face.
Wells took a bartending class, so his drinks will be more on point, apparently, this season.
Taking it very seriously.
You know what? I appreciate that. I'm just waiting for Yuki to come join him.
Oh, yeah. Right, when is that going to happen?
Yeah, really?
I don't know. I guess it seems soon because she's been in a lot of the previews.
I mean,
you would
the
expect
previews
the bartender
are...
to be there from the beginning.
Yeah. Well, is she a bartender?
Or
is she
a
bar? Oh, there's honestly, like, just looking at that teaser, there's too many people to keep track of who are just on their way. And
well, and I've just been watching Love Island, which is very similar, but there are only like 10 people.
Much easier to keep track.
And the cast kept growing and growing as I was watching Paradise. I was like, there's no way for me to hold all these relationships in my mind. Chelsea shows up. Kendall has a conversation with Joe about how much she likes picnics and cemeteries.
I was surprised that a grocer had never been on a picnic.
He doesn't like
them. Yeah, that seems very off-brand. I don't know what's going on there.
Like, why leave the grocery store?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, I think that picnics are like parades. I think that they're more controversial than their branding would suggest. Some people do like them, but I think a lot of people think of a picnic and they're like, there are going to be bugs everywhere. Maybe I'm going to be hot. I have to sit on the ground.
I do think we probably put picnics on a pedestal too, where it's like, oh, picnics are always cute. We always have a good basket.
They're
but
not
then
always
in
cute.
Reality, you like put it in like a cooler that's not really cooling the stuff you're bringing. And then you have to find a spot and it's great. You know, so like,
New York is a good place to picnic, though. A lot of nice public green spaces.
I was in Paris recently, and I was really determined to have a picnic in a park.
Did it work out?
Because it seemed very Parisian.
Right.
or something. And the last day, we left time to do little things like that instead of being at museums the whole day. And you'll never guess what happened. It rained all day. But I was still really determined. I was like, I think there's going to be a gap in the rain. So we went and got, like, sandwiches and drinks and then went to a park. And it was paused raining for just a few minutes, and I was like, perfect, we're gonna have a great. We got to the park, and as soon as we got there, it started raining again.
Nice.
So we ended up like huddled under a little like bus cover structure or something, leaned over, like just housing our sandwiches. So and that was my Paris picnic.
You can say you did it.
I did it. I picnicked in Paris.
Yeah. Bucket list checked off.
So I'm more on Joe's side here, to be honest.
Yeah.
But also, I think it's interesting that Kendall said she wanted to get away from her quirky, like, taxidermy and ukulele persona. And the first thing she offers up is another variant on the cute plus, like, creepy vibe, which is a picnic plus a cemetery.
Oh, and we also love a good opening line of, have you ever seen a dead body?
Like, this is true love, people.
I mean, you know, you really have to just, like, show who you are, like, right away. I
and
can
this
support
is who Kendall
that.
Is.
Yeah, just, like, unabashedly.
Even though she, at the beginning, says, there's more to me than just taxidermy. Yeah, picnics and dead bodies.
Yeah. But the great thing about cemeteries is there's great parking because no one else wants to be there
except
to visit their departed relatives.
Have a moment of mourning
and there you are, you know, laughing gaily with your bottle of Prosecco your charcuterie.
You're probably not going to have to compete for space. You know, there's probably not going to be a ton of other people set up.
Except with if there's a burial that morning.
Yeah.
Then
but
possibly.
Just go to the other side of the cemetery. It's fine.
Plenty of space.
As one does.
And Chris shows up at this point. He took some time to think about how wrong things went on The Bachelorette. And he's ready for things to be different this time. Spoiler alert, he is not ready and things are not going to be different this time. Tia thinks he's cool initially, but she thinks maybe there might be someone better.
Oh, I wonder.
No one specific.
I wonder.
But it's Colton. It's Colton.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
I was thinking John, but okay. I guess I'm so surprised. Colton. Okay.
I think it's possible that Tia is there for Colton.
You don't say.
Kendall says she thinks she's keeping her options open, but is it really open if it's just for one person? Eric is talking to Tia and Bibiana about Crystal. Do they really think she's like such a bad person? And they're like, yes, we would die if she showed up. So, of course, here she comes. And someone points out that she sounds completely different, which is true.
It's fantastic.
I appreciate that she changed her voice, but she never admitted that she was doing that breathy voice on purpose.
I feel like, didn't she say that she was sick?
She tried to say she lost her voice for
an entire season. Right.
And when you lose your voice definitely gets higher.
And breathier. Yeah, I mean, also, her voice changed at certain points during the season, depending on context. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we would see her normal voice on the season.
Loss of voice.
We know she's lying.
You know what's interesting to see? Do we think it's going to make a return later on?
Yeah.
In Paradise.
I think as soon as she's interested in a guy, the voice starts creeping back.
Yeah, yeah. I could see that.
And the sad thing is seeing all the men who are interested in Crystal.
And knowing it's
like,
going to work.
It works.
It's going to work. Yeah.
It just burns me in my
just
soul.
Just a weird magnet, I guess. I don't know.
And I'm reminded that Kendall had beef with Crystal during the season, which I had forgotten.
Yeah, that she handled very well, you know. So it's not quite as intense as like... I'm trying to remember some of the other, like, butting of heads on that season.
Bibby had, like, more intense beef with
Crystal,
for sure.
And Caroline and Tia also got into it with Crystal.
Yeah.
Everyone got into it.
Yeah, no one wants to be Crystal's friend.
Yeah.
And Joe talks with Crystal about their various European heritages. He's Italian and part Norwegian. She's Scandinavian. He's like, that's cool.
Really stand out.
Yeah.
He's like, that's so, it's so different. I'm Italian and Norwegian.
I did love Crystal's response. Like, wait, you're Norwegian? I'm Norwegian. I'm Norwegian.
We must keep the blood together.
And then Joe with the smooth line, like, I like it. stamp of approval.
And Kevin arrives, and Nick S. from this season, the first guy to not be wearing a top, just full look at my
Nothing
ass.
Nothing about Nick just impressed me this episode.
And you know what I'm going to just throw out is that if anyone enters Paradise with a let's go, baby, then it's going to be a no from me. It's going to be, I'm out. I'm just out.
Yeah, he came in sort of trying to show more of his personality because he was a non-entity on Becca's season.
Yeah. Except his personality
like,
turns out.
The personality is bro-y and oh no. Yeah. Just.
When you have a garbage personality, it's better to just fade into the background.
Well, I think it was Kristen on AfterBuzz said that Nick had a great personality, was really fun in the house. Clearly all the guys were happy to see him. And I was like, oh, Nick is that friend that everyone's boyfriend has in their group that you hate. Yeah. And you're like, why are you friends with this dude? And they're like, we've known each other since the fraternity. Yeah. And like, he always gets the party started. And you're like, well, he's over there hitting on my friend in a really creepy way. And I'm never going to bring her around you guys again.
Yeah. But he's always going to be around.
He's always going to be around.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't understand it. He's so fun. And Kendall, John comes and Kendall goes right for Venmo John. And she says she's a sucker for nerds, which I mean,
I could see.
These are some pretty hot nerds.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I feel like there are some people we need to like put some quotes around nerd or dork.
I think John is.
Yeah, that one holds
certainly
up.
Has a nerdy side.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
John is a nerd. I think Joe is just awkward.
Yeah,
Joe is a quote-unquote nerd.
Joe said he thought Crystal was a lot smarter than him.
Yeah. I don't think he's a nerd. I think he's slightly socially awkward and not even that socially awkward.
Right, right.
He just has the kind of – he has anti-game, like the game that – works because it seems like he's not being smooth at all.
Right, but it also feels very intentional.
He's very attractive, but actively not threatening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes him extremely appealing, but he also doesn't seem that traditionally masculine type of.
Like if you're someone who is really aware, like checking for guys using lines on you that or you know saying insincere things, he goes the opposite way so that it's harder to detect. But he was talking to all the girls. He was definitely playing the field day one. John, I think, gets a little drunk before he does his in the moment.
Oh, it very much seems. It's like, John, what are you doing?
Oh, my gosh.
No, don't do this
John is just overwhelmed by all the hot women. He cannot contain himself.
I know. I was like, I feel uncomfortable.
Abort, John.
Seeing my honestly, sweet Venmo John being like, there's some fine looking leaves on this beach and I like it. I was like, okay.
Honestly, like getting to the beach and then getting like a wee bit too drunk is like relatable. Like, so I can, you know, I can, yeah. You know, John.
Just the way he speaks. Oh, it's special.
You very rarely see someone like John on the show, someone who has neither game nor anti-game, but is just a dork.
Yeah.
And still a hot dork.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to be hot to be on the show. Here comes Angela. She has.
Wait, who? Oops.
She's the girl with really shiny big hair.
Oh, that's okay.
And she likes football and
her
not drama.
Her daddy's a football coach.
Yeah. Her daddy's a football coach, you guys. Oh, my God. Men love that. Kenny arrives. Chris asks if his daughter, Mackenzie, knows he's here.
He's like, yeah, dude. I just left her for a few weeks. Didn't let her know. I adore Kenny. I'm excited to see him back on our television screens.
Yeah, I hope he has some more luck finding love this time.
Mm-hmm. They replayed his exit from Rachel season, and I remembered how heart-wrenching and mutually sweet it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably, like, one of, like, the best exits that I can, like, remember as in, like, recent history. Yeah.
Yeah. It also reminded me how much fun Rachel's season was and how it got super shortchanged.
Yeah.
But I loved that season. Astrid arrives. She had a good outfit on, but I didn't write it down, so I don't remember.
She had a two-piece. It was cute crop top with a matching, like, same print skirt. Mm. Very into it. I was like, oh, this is something I would actually wear.
Yeah, well, Emma loves two-piece outfits.
I do. I love matching two-pieces.
FYI.
It's a great look. It was nice.
Do you feel like sending her clothing? No,
it was
kidding.
Nice and high-waisted, the skirt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very flattering.
She looked fantastic. I also appreciated that Astrid was just snacking the entire time, which I really related to.
So was Crystal. We saw a lot of Crystal eating sticks of celery. And
I mean, what else is there to do? And apparently you can just order food on demand, and the tacos are good. That's what I do when I go to Mexico. I want to sit on a beach and have someone bring me tacos.
Yeah, I respect that. I was surprised that, you know, you would eat so much celery when there are tacos, but far be it from me to judge how people keep their beautiful bodies.
Who was eating celery?
Crystal.
Oh, Crystal. Yeah. Oh, well, that makes sense. Yeah,
She's very healthy.
Yeah, I don't relate to Crystal's, as Kevin would put it, lifestyle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kevin
very
does.
Workout oriented.
Oh, yeah.
Annalise shows up. Jordan apparently is here for Annalise.
Jordan, like, really just
did that
goes
surprise
for
anyone?
It. Like, I feel like I wasn't necessarily thinking about it initially, but then it kind of like holds
it,
up.
Exactly. Yeah, once yeah, he no, said right, it, I right. was like, oh, I can see Jordan being very drawn to sort of sweet blonde women.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's true. Someone who seems like she really just wants to sit on a couch and drink white wine and watch a chick flick because she's afraid of literally everything else.
I'm going to admit that I don't necessarily see Annalise totally returning his advances.
Oh, same.
She's also older than him, despite the fact that her entire storyline was bumper car trauma on her season. She does seem a little more grounded than Jordan.
Yeah.
She's at least able to, like, lean into that a little bit. And I think she is.
I think she's
become self-aware. Yeah.
Yeah. I loved her list at the beginning of things that she is afraid of.
I do see that dynamic just being, like, similar to a Robbie and Amanda situation where Jordan is just relentless for half the season.
He goes up to her and is like, hello, I'm a fan of yours. My mother loves you. I've already decided we're getting married.
I'm attracted to you and I think you're the whole package.
Also, you know what
And she's like, hello, your name is Jordan.
You know what I really want to highlight, too? I can remember, like, three different guys doing this where they were talking to the person they were interested in and they're laying on all of these compliments, but they are not making any eye contact whatsoever. They are looking in the opposite direction and they're just like, okay, I need to, like, get all this out, but I can just look the other way entirely.
It's like they were all, like, giving a PowerPoint presentation.
Buy
stock in Jordan. Yeah. Here is what I have to offer you. Mm-hmm. I think you're hot. My mom likes you. I think that you are a ray of sunshine.
Right.
Let me know. That's the end of my PowerPoint. Thank you very much. Goodbye. I'll talk to you another time.
And we'll, like, get into it eventually. But, like, Nick very much did that, too.
Oh,
and Joe did that, too. Like, it was a method.
Oh, Nick. David shows up. Chris says, there's been a mistake. I think I ordered the chicken.
Hey,
knee slappers.
Nice. Killing it.
David sort of tries to start by burying the hatchet with Jordan, shaking his hand. Jordan doesn't buy it. But that's a quiet conflict for now. Nothing going on there. Tia is obsessing about Colton. She keeps looking over to see if he's showing up. She only came here for Colton. And she's telling the other people, like, she didn't reach out to him after the Bachelorette. She, for some reason. And also, he didn't reach out either. And they're like, what? Like, why? But literally, why?
Yeah.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. Because I understand being like, I don't want to reach out if he's still into me. Mm-hmm. Then I'll wait for him to reach out. But he didn't. So why are you still extremely convinced that you are going to get engaged on this show? It's just like no idea where he stands. It's very strange.
It just seems like a giant game of chicken.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just like, no, you go. No, you go first.
But she's like run out. She's like, now I'm here. I'm going to make it extremely clear. I'm here for him.
Yeah.
So that whole thing about maintaining her pride, I guess, by not reaching out to him is now up the window.
Yes, just throw it out to the sea.
But she has the advantage of being there first so that everyone on the beach knows that she wants to date him, that they have a history. And by the time Colton does show up, everyone's like, Colton, you asshole, Tia is suffering.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more from Brett and more on the Goose Gang.
Chris Harrison, at this point, gathers them. Everyone who's going to show up that day is here, and he gives them the spiel about the show. There are more men than women, so the men are the ones who are on the chopping block this week. And so they start, like, really trying to get to know each other, see who's going to give them a rose. Tia talks to Joe and just basically ends up talking about Colton the whole time.
I did notice that they had Franken, they were doing some Franken biting mm-hmm. in that conversation.
For sure.
Yeah. Like there was a line that she had said.
It was like bring
earlier.
On the men or something. Or something.
Well,
I
there
forgot.
Was,
yeah.
One of her comments about Colton had pretty clearly been looped and placed mm-hmm. in the middle of something that she was actually saying to Joe. Because mm-hmm. they panned away from mm-hmm. her and it was just in voiceover.
Yeah.
I did
that
note
too.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he does end up with the impression that she's not over Colton.
Oh, I believe she certainly still spoke about Colton,
yeah.
but I think it was probably a little less intense than
right.
it was presented.
Right.
Yeah. At this point, Tia starts thinking about that date card because there's going to be a date card. And
she
getting
wants
date
the date card,
card
the least. Therefore, she
will
get
it. Of course
it would
will,
be
yeah.
the worst possible scenario to get it. And I'm thinking to myself, Tia, you're sitting here looking at the producers and telling them, giving me the date card would create a lot of drama.
So it's like, oh, we'll like totally understand. But we'll not. No, that I totally understand. That's fine. Yeah,
yeah we
we'll
feel
save
you, girl.
It for later. Yeah. We
we'll definitely
make sure,
wait until Colton gets yeah. here to give you a date card.
We
want to
make
sure.
Sure this is stress-free and like that you're feeling comfortable. Yeah.
I wrote, she makes it so easy to produce her. That's Tia's real downfall. She's just not savvy about production at
How
all.
How this all works.
And she gets the date card and she, it's like she is a tragic heroine. She is like Mary Shelley. She's wandering by the ocean. She's looking tragic. She could give that date card away. It's happened before. Like, if it is such a absolute fucking disaster that she got the date card, she could give it to Kendall.
But she has to prove that she's not just here for Colton.
Right.
That's the thing, because she's very open-minded to this mm-hmm. experience. Yeah. So she's gotta.
So she asks Chris on a date, and she says that their conversation really took her by surprise, except we never saw any of their conversation before this point.
Yeah, we did just earlier see her say, like, oh, he seems cool, I guess.
Okay.
Sure. I have to say, even when Chris is not actively being terrible, everything about his mannerisms really bothers me.
Yeah.
Yeah. He really seems like a movie character.
I think just like sometimes the way he walks too, it's just like, that's such a bro walk.
Yeah.
I see that.
It seems very studied.
Yeah, yeah, no, right. It's just like very
also,
like,
anyone
just, like
that
pumping the shoulders.
Other
yeah,
men.
Pumping the shoulders, doing the like, yeah, I guess I find her attractive. And he's like waggling his shoulders and like moving his biceps around. He's like,
yeah.
And I guess she feels the same way. So I guess, I don't know, man. I guess we'll just see what's going on. It's just so like studied. Like a macho posture.
We love good performative masculinity.
Perform it as much as possible.
Yeah.
And so then he puts on his sexy date outfit. It's a red patterned shirt with literally like one button done.
Also, you know what I will say? There were so many H&M floral shirts on this beach.
Oh, yeah.
So many. Like, I think...
do
I think
you have
Will's
some of
had
those?
One. I do, which is why
Brett
I know.
Brett is wearing a shirt that
I
could
am.
Be on Paradise
I had
right
to,
now.
I had to be, you know,
to
I had to be
part.
Festive.
Yeah.
Right. No, but like, I'm pretty sure Will's had one. I'm pretty sure Chris was wearing one. There was someone else, too, where it's like, all right, I see all of you.
They can't
well, you
afford
to, buy,
to get design, a bunch
yeah,
of designer right.
You should buy a lot of clothing for these shows.
Yeah,
I would go
right.
to H&M also.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Oh, I support it. I just yeah. gotta acknowledge.
I remember
shout
once
H&M.
On Are
hey.
You the One
sponsor
scene,
Paradise.
Yeah. Once on Are You the One, I saw a girl wearing a little crop top, and I was like, "I have that crop top. It's from Forever 21, and it was $5." And I was like, "Oh, that's how they all have 5 zillion little combos."
Yeah.
And Tia points out that she hasn't been on a proper date since. Oh hell, I don't know, Colton. Joe actually had an interest in Tia and is really disappointed that he didn't get asked on this date. Tia was like a pretty hot commodity, and I sort of wonder if it was partly because she seemed so unavailable that it made the men more interested.
Yeah, yeah. But we also have to highlight once again, like, Astrid being amazing here, being like, oh, I guess you just have to hang out with us degenerates. Just, oh, I'm going to love Astrid this season. I already
see
it. She
has some great commentary. You can tell she'll be a good narrator.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see her make a connection so she can stick around. Because at this point, she seems like she is the snarky best friend of everyone on the show.
I can, like, see, like, Astrid having, like, a very, like, low-key relationship the entire time.
Which is why she'll, yeah, I think she will be around. I mean, we've seen in some of the previews that she's making out with someone.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
Perfect.
She, what? Oh, my God.
So she'll at least stick around for a little while.
Yeah. And Crystal is thrilled Joe isn't on the date. He's sort of her initial interest. But then Joe immediately decides to regroup with Kendall, immediately bringing Crystal back down to earth. So Kendall and Joe basically just go watch a thunderstorm on a daybed and make out.
And we all know that daybeds are just where... things happen.
Where things,
things happen.
Happen
on daybeds.
Her family
mom
warned her about
this.
Warned her about the daybed.
Yeah.
And now she's been on it
twice.
You go on a daybed. And I mean, she's already made out with someone.
I know. All because of the daybed.
I also...
Joe has like quite a move here. She says, I thought there would be more aggression and territorial like behavior, but I haven't seen that yet. And Joe's like, well, that's what I'm doing right now. And like puts his hand on
and she says, oh, really?
She's like, is that what you're doing by sitting on this daybed? And yes, they make out a bunch.
I'll admit, like, I was charmed by that interaction. Like, there was just there was like shy flirting, like back and forth, which is like, I was very into
I'm
it.
Into this
yeah.
coupling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, same. And like, and also when he acknowledges, like, oh yeah, that's like what I'm doing right now. She like leans into him. It's like, oh really? Oh. Yeah.
I love their flirtation, and I think often we see on the show much more bland conversations like we see later on Tia's date with Chris that's like, are you interested in a relationship? I'm interested in a relationship. Do you think I'm attractive? Because I think you're attractive. And that is mind-numbingly dull to watch. Kendall and Joe have a little more playful of a connection, which is great. I don't totally buy them as being compatible, though.
I, like, weirdly see it, honestly. Like, I almost think that Kendall and John are too, like, similar. Like, I almost think, like, I could see Kendall and Joe balancing each other out a little bit more, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I'm curious. Like, I feel like they're playing along with each other right now because it's new and fun, but I think it might eventually get exhausting to be like, let's go to a cemetery and have a picnic and have your boyfriend like, why?
Yeah, fair.
Really?
Yeah.
But we'll see. I like them together just on a gut level, so I'm pro. And she asked what his favorite thing is about being in Paradise. And he's like, probably you, now that Tia is on a date with Chris.
That and Crystal.
And meanwhile, Crystal is binge eating celery because she's not an aggressor. And nope. She's just going to have to watch Kendall and Joe making out and eat celery. And it's fine.
I wish when I ate emotionally, I just ate celery. That's just what I craved.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the other hand, I
seamlessed
a pint of ice cream to my house last night because it was so hot.
Same.
You know what I will say, like, on Crystal is I feel like, especially in, like, the Bachelor world we're in now, like, I have now come around on Crystal. I'll support Crystal for what she is, you know, like, just.
Seems a lot more delightful in Paradise. I think it's more her speed. She can actually get
one day.
Sure.
But there were little lines that she was saying, like, when going back to, like, her conversation with Joe, where she's like, oh, did you, like, watch Ari's season? He's like, oh, no. And she's like, good. Like, just little. She's doing well so far. But yeah.
I definitely think could be that a better setting
if
for
she
her.
Has someone to concentrate on who does not get encroached on by a rival, I think she could stay low-key and fine the whole time. Mm-hmm. But she does not handle being crossed well at all. She doesn't handle not getting what she wants well. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what the show is predicated on, too. Like, it's hard to imagine that she's going to totally avoid. She's already gotten pissy, like, three times about not getting the guy she wants.
Yeah.
Annalise and John kind of have a connection.
Wait, I can't, like,
remember
this.
Someone says that, but we never see them interacting.
Yeah. David talks to Angela.
I don't think Angela's into David.
No. No, definitely not. Crystal decides that she's interested in Kevin now.
Wait, first can we address Jordan and Nisha's incredibly awkward?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
They talk about where your soul, the energy of your soul goes.
And you can, like, very much see the look in both of their eyes. It's like, I want to die. Like,
yeah. This is, like, and there's just a crab crawling slowly behind Jordan's head.
And you can see, I think it was Jordan in particular, just, like, really just putting down that drink quicker. You know, I think you're just like, oh, my God, okay. Got to get away from this.
I couldn't help but put myself in Nisha's shoes where it's like when you're on a date that you are extremely bored by, but the other person is not even doing you the courtesy of pretending they're not bored.
Sure.
And it's like, how dare you? Yeah. I also find you extremely dull.
Yeah.
And I'm making an effort.
Yeah.
So then Kevin and Crystal, they sit down together with a platter of food that they shove in their faces. There's a quick cut and all the food is gone.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, no,
he also just, like, puts food in his mouth and is immediately, like, through his mouthful of food. So you're the hottest girl here. I really wanted to meet you. I think you're attractive. I like your lifestyle. I think that you're, like, a hot commodity.
And then just make out.
Yeah. And he's like, I feel like we're alone, and just throws himself on her.
I couldn't, like, get that line. Like, I was trying to remember it, but it was just, like, very muffled.
And it's a weird line. The line is basically, we're alone, so we might as well
make out. Yeah. That's, like, what one does.
What one
I
does
suppose.
When one is
yeah.
alone. He's like, if we're not alone, then no making out. But if we are alone, definitely
100%
making out.
Yeah.
Them's the rules.
Yeah. Well.
We have the return of pillow lips here.
Oh, yeah.
His pillow lips. Meanwhile, it's time to get into Nick and Chelsea.
Do we need to? Okay.
I have so many feelings. I mean, first there is the content of what he said, but also, did anyone notice what he was doing with his hands the whole time?
He was doing, like, interlacing
his hands were scissoring each other.
Yes, it was so bizarre.
Yeah, no.
It was a lot.
This was definitely an instance that you called out, Brett.
No
eye contact. No
eye contact, just, like, looking out to the sea and just laying it on thick.
And mashing his scissor fingers.
He was doing a dramatic monologue about how he thinks she's a snack.
Just the most romantic.
Also, he was definitely very drunk. I thought maybe also high.
Somehow, yeah.
First, we see him just, like, cussing up such a storm that almost everything he said is bleeped out. I have no idea what those first couple sentences were. And then we cut to him in the moment going, Chelsea's a snack.
It was truly impressive with Nick how he said so much but also said so little. Like, that was really, like, bravo.
And he took everything he said. He, like, took, he's like, I love moms. Moms love me. I'd be a great role model. And then he laughs really hard at that idea. And then he's like, but really, I would. The producers ask what her son's name is, which she definitely told him. He takes about 7 guesses that we see.
Good old Zach, Danny, just
Joe,
yeah,
Chris,
Johnny
finally gets to Sammy.
Yeah,
just I think by sheer chance, monkeys at a keyboard at that point. He tells her he has a super attraction to her. He would totally make out with her, just like if she wanted to. Because he's
if
just
he got
like,
the sense that she wanted to make out, they would be making out.
Yeah, because he just – it's this weird, unexplainable attraction that he has to her. Like, he doesn't know what it is. She's lying there completely still, like she's afraid to draw his attention any further by yeah. moving. And finally says, okay, I think I'm going to bed. Sorry. And Nick
he's
is pissed.
Furious.
Oh, yeah.
He with said, her.
Yeah, because – no one's ever pulled that card on me. The, like, the, I feel rest. Ill
yeah.
card.
I find that difficult to believe.
Yeah. He's like, that's fucking interesting.
Yeah. He's like, I spent all that time on her while other people were establishing connections, and now I'm just, like, fucked. He thinks maybe he had shit on his face. And I'm like, dude, that's it's not like, what happened.
Yeah, sure. I mean,
you were mashing your fingers together yeah. and saying very weird things. And yeah. also, maybe she's really tired.
And also, maybe there was some shit on your face. But, like, I don't think that's why. I don't think she was sitting there being like, I would be so into this whole package were it not for that fleck of taco
and then,
on his
but
forehead.
But now I'm out. But now I'm out. That's it. Yeah, I kid, that's a deal breaker. Nope. But, I mean, no, we're really seeing Nick's incredible personality coming out. I'm really... Yeah. There it is. There it is.
So much to look forward to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Can't wait for more.
More Nick. Well, who knows? He wasted all that time that he could have been making a connection. Maybe we won't get much more Nick.
I just want to be clear that men are not entitled to hook up with a woman just because they spent an hour speaking to her.
Right.
It's going to put it out there.
It's not even like that he's entitled because he spent time listening to her or getting to know her.
He talked at her.
He literally was just like, I isolated her for an amount of time and I spent that time talking at her. And as such, I've earned her attention and interest.
And also, Emma, to circle back what you said, he talked at her. He didn't even talk at her. Just couldn't even do that.
In could the vicinity not, of her.
Talked in her presence.
It was such a weird, I feel like a
so weird.
It really, like, it was like she wasn't there. It was yeah. like he was just talking to an imaginary friend or something.
Yeah.
Tia, meanwhile, I almost forgot about her, is off on her date. Not with Colton. He's not there. She has to think about something else other than Colton. So she talks with Chris. They have a very basic conversation about how they both want to be in relationships. And I am bored to tears. And basically, though, they just neg each other a bunch.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's like, I want to be open-minded and date someone I wouldn't normally give the time of day to. And she's like, I'm having a nice time. And it just goes to show you can never know who you'll be into.
Yeah, just like slight little dregs.
I was like, you guys low-key both feel like you're slumming it for some reason.
Oh, 100%.
It's very weird. But they make out and she's into it. And
she thinks there will be lots more kisses in her future with Chris.
Yeah. She says to the producers, Colton who? The person you just brought up. You just brought him up by saying that just now. The next morning, they're making out at the pool. Everything's good.
Also, you know what? It's like a very like underrated thing that I almost had to like really check was happening. But Chris was like recapping the date while Tia was like there. I feel like that doesn't like happen. Like they were in the same group. Like it's like that's just like such a weird thing. Like talking about like, oh yeah, I think it like went really well. We have a great connection as Tia is just like 3 people away.
That's super weird.
It's super weird. It's super
weird. Like you have to include like be like, oh yeah, yeah, we went to have dinner and then there were fireworks. We had a great time.
Well, it's like I know that they do like those breakouts of groups where it's like the boys need to talk about how the dates went. But like it's a weird thing if like the person you dated is present. It just really made me uncomfortable. But
he's trying to inception her.
Yeah,
like,
no,
we
I guess.
Had it's a great like, connection.
Yeah,
Tia. And We get a dramatic lizard-based montage.
Of course we do.
Someone's coming through the woods.
Ooh, who could it be?
Who could it be other than Colton?
Literally Colton. No one.
This was a Colton. Very tightly produced episode, thanks to Tia's complete lack of chill.
Yeah.
Colton arrives. He feels kind of torn about Tia. He thought they were on the same page, and then she told Becca she was still interested in him. He doesn't think that was the only reason about that Becca broke up with him, but he's not thrilled about it. And he's not ruling Tia out for some reason, but also he's not ruling her in per se.
He's not running right to her by any means.
Do we think he actually did not speak to her until he gives her the date card?
I think they hugged initially, and then they move to be with the whole group, and then he's like, Kendall, can we talk?
Mm-hmm.
And I think then he only talked to the other girls, and then when he talked to Tia, was like, all right, let's do this.
Okay. They made it seem like he didn't even really look her in the eye, and then he's like, hey, come on this date with me.
Yeah, I do think that they had like a light interaction, but then he was like, and okay, Kendall. You know?
I mean, I think that this was part of the situation that a lot of the girls were already friends with Tia, and mm-hmm. the guys were all interested in Tia, so they all had already become invested in what Tia wanted happening for her. And Colton shows up when she's already laid all that groundwork for herself, mm-hmm. and they're like, this guy is supposed to come in and sweep her off her feet and carry her into the ocean to live as his mermaid queen. And instead, he's talking to Kendall.
Who was after Kendall? It was Kendall and then someone else, I think, right?
Angela?
I think Angela.
Okay.
That's when we get that gem.
This is when we learn about Angela. He tells her that he used to play football, and she says, my daddy's a football coach. I like sports. I like sports.
She's not like those other girls.
She's not like those other girls. She doesn't like drama.
Don't like sports.
She literally also says she's not into drama.
I'm not into Angela. So there's that. Maybe she'll grow on me.
I mean, that was a really aggressively cool girl package for us to introduce her to us. All I know about her is that she's really desperate for hot guys to know that she likes sports and isn't into drama. But Colton's into it. We see him actually. He's very animated. Like, we rarely see him as he's flirting with Angela. But he decides he needs to take Tia on this date. And they go on a yacht.
Looks like a fun date.
Yeah. Chris is back at the Paradise Beach, freaking out.
I feel like this was when the Goose
gang was formed.
Was born. Yeah, this is like the origin story. Is when they went on that date together. It's where it begins.
Like every good superhero story. Everything is a superhero story now, even Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh, yeah.
He also says that he's not sure if Tia wants to stay on the virgin ship or jump ship to the goose ship.
All around.
I've had enough. I've truly had enough.
What's sad is I feel like he worked on that line for a while.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
definitely.
And it's really bad.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Jordan is having this amazing riff comparing Colton to Chris's personal Vietnam. And he does a really detailed, accurate narration of a Vietnam movie scene with Chris wearing his like helmet and it's covered in dirt. And there's the Apache chopper coming in overhead.
Didn't he say like it was like Captain America 2 or something like that?
He did bring in Captain America.
Yeah, there was like some.
Who's Captain America in this?
I
think Chris?
Maybe.
I suppose Jordan is part of the Goose Gang.
Right. So like it's got to be.
Yeah. So Captain America would be Chris.
Okay.
Yeah.
Holds up.
Colton is Vietnam. Not even a person in this. Everyone is pretty suspect of Colton back at the house. The women think that he's jerking Tia around and he's a fame seeker. He wants to keep her on the back burner while he explores his options. The guys partly are on that train, and some of them are on the "this isn't fair to Chris" train, which of course is the Goose Gang.
Except they also frame all of their intense male aggression as just they need to protect Tia, who never asked to be protected and wants to go on a date with Colton.
Oh, very also, badly, more than anything in literally the entire world.
And I also love how they were just very self-aware they were doing that. It's like, oh, but we need to package this as, like, we're looking out for Tia here. Everyone on board with that.
I think Chris learned a really tough lesson about his time on The Bachelorette, that he got too entitled and he was too demanding, and what he really needs to do is in the future present those impulses as chivalry.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
And not actually change his behavior.
Yeah, like don't learn. Like let's not be zany here. But, you know, at least package it differently.
Right. Let's definitely not break out of our negative patterns, but let's definitely frame them in a more PC
desirable
way.
Light. Yeah, yeah, right.
And on the yacht, Tia and Colton reminisce about their weekend together, which actually, I mean, it sounds like it was a very couple-y weekend. I do find it weird to have that be a first date. It kind of conflates.
It really, like, makes me anxious thinking about that, like, where it's like, okay, you're really going to just go for this, okay?
Yeah. But neither of them lived in L.A., but they met up in L.A. in an Airbnb, I think.
Yeah.
And, yeah, spent the whole weekend cooking dinner for each other and hiking with rescue dogs. I guess just random rescue dogs.
Yeah, I was very that's
not their dogs, just quote-unquote rescue
and
dogs.
And, like, the fact that neither of them are from there, it's like, how does one go about getting
I guess just
dogs.
Go to a shelter and be like, can we borrow some?
Give me your dogs for this date. Thanks.
Is this a thing? You can't do that with cats, really, because cats don't want to hike a canyon with you.
Not yet.
So I don't care. Colton is, I mean, Tia's hoping that Colton will sort of give her a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Mm-hmm. And instead, he gives her a sideways thumb in the middle.
Yeah, just like that, like it's teetering constantly.
Yeah.
This storyline will extend is basically what he
for sure.
Her.
He is open to something between them, but he's not committing to her, but he is going to make out with her on a jet ski and also on a yacht. I mean, if I'm Tia, I am feeling pretty good about this. I'm like, why is he making out with me so much if he's not still interested?
Yep. So it's like, all right, this is a go.
Yeah, I guess full steam ahead. And back at the house, Jordan is just really getting Chris fired up. He's like, you have so many things going for you compared to Colton. You're not a virgin.
Okay.
Great start. She picked you for a date. Colton wasn't there, so irrelevant. you use more hair products. And Chris says, yeah, I didn't think of it like that. I think at this point, Chris recognizes that Jordan is insane.
But he just enjoys it. But he enjoys the backup.
Jordan says that Colton is getting sloppy seconds because Tia picked Chris first.
Except that Tia already hooked up with Colton.
Also, I'm sorry, sloppy seconds is a
gross
term.
Yes, it's a gross term, but also the situation that he's pointing to isn't even accurate.
Yeah,
so it's just all
around
it's all
wrong. So many on so many levels. Yeah.
Finally, they come back to the house. I do also want to call out that Colton says to Tia on the yacht that he took his initial feelings for her and reinvested them with someone else.
Because that's how feelings
And now
work.
Maybe they're gone. Yeah. It's like you take your feelings and you put it in company A. Company A goes under. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like,
you
that's
invested.
Gone.
It's like, it's like currency.
Maybe you can get some new feelings somewhere else, but you can't put them back with company A1 that you started. Like, nope, you know, this metaphor is falling apart.
I support it. It's fine.
I don't think it works.
You're doing amazing.
It's not my metaphor. It's Colton's metaphor. Good God. And so they come back to the house where Nick and Jordan are kind of hovering over Chris, psyching him up. They're like, you need to deal with Colton, his manipulations. He's like, he shouldn't mess with Tia like this. Tia's my girl. And Jordan's like, you have to crush him. Chris is like, this poor girl, I have to save her. She's being torn apart. She's being tossed back and forth.
And just remember, we care about Tia here.
And the episode ends as Colton and Tia are arriving back at the house from their date.
And Chris throwing in a, we need to talk.
I just can't believe how little time it took for Chris to get sucked back into acting like
aggro.
A complete asshole.
Yep.
Just like, they didn't even need to break him down psychologically over the course of several days.
Yeah.
Right back there.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a little teaser from the rest of the season. We get some credits, but that's basically it. We have to wait until next week to see how the Colton confrontation goes
down. I would just like to say that the credits were great. Eric is the type of true friend who will help you pick out your boogers.
Yeah.
And that's important.
I've never had a friend who would use my hand as a tool to pick a booger out of my
nose. Honestly, it's strategic.
You know? I don't know. It seems fair. Jordan is absolutely horrified. This is the thing that has disgusted Jordan more than anything else.
That's something
cross the line.
You'll never see on a runway or in a catalog, but a booger being picked out of someone's nose. It doesn't fit into his aesthetic.
Models don't have boogers. That's the thing. You know?
That's why.
That's why everyone wants a model.
Yep.
Really takes the whole like snot factor out of your relationship.
Yeah, right. You don't even have to think about it.
I know. Whereas currently, I think about it in regards to my relationship all the time. Mm-hmm. How do we deal with the constant booger and snot issue? Just us normies and
our struggles.
Date and love. Yeah, it's tough. So general thoughts from this episode? Did you guys enjoy?
I just think there's a lot to look forward to.
No, yeah. I'm very here for it. And plus, every single time I see, even though they're showing the same stuff in like the previews and all that, like I'm looking, there's so much to keep track of is the only thing. Like there's that other Shoshana person who I also have zero idea who it is.
Who looks sort of like Angela.
Was Shoshana on Paradise before? I think she was.
Okay. She was. Ashley was not very kind to her about going on a date
forgetting
with
us
Wells or...
I'm forgetting this entirely. Like, I don't know how, but...
Yeah, I think it was like 2 seasons ago.
Okay. Huh.
And yeah, I think it was Wells, probably.
It was Wells.
Yeah.
Okay.
And apparently this season she's going to get called a witch. We're going to really have to dig into the, you know, misogynist history of witch hunts.
I'm not looking forward to any part that includes Leo, but everything else looks fun.
Looks good.
Yeah. So next week when we come back, we're going to be a little more rested.
Yeah.
Not much more rested.
Just like a fraction. A fraction.
We need to spend the week on a beach in Mexico and then we'll be ready to get in the paradise state of mind.
But also, as we know, Bachelor in Paradise is just like a marathon with like the 2 hours Monday and Tuesday. Like it's going to be something.
But we got this.
I'm just really gearing up. I might not have the strength to live tweet every night, but we will be here every week to recap on Wednesdays. Thank you so much for joining us, Brett.
Of course. Absolutely. Anytime.
Now it's time for Feminism Fails, and we did have a handful this episode.
We certainly did.
First, Jordan again mocks Colton's virginity. We're going to give that 1 of 3. Dude, it's just a tired line. Get over it. Stop talking about it.
Jordan has a couple this episode. He also says that Colton got Chris's sloppy seconds. It was sort of a throwaway line, but this is a gross and ultimately misogynistic phrase that devalues women who have active sex and dating lives, which is really, really unfair and uncool. We're going to give that 4.
And then, of course, Nick is pissed that Chelsea didn't make out with him after he spent an hour speaking in her vicinity and mashing his fingers together. We're going to give that 1 of 5 because, bros, you are not entitled to a woman's time, attention, or physical affection. Ever. And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guests, Brett Vergara, and our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson.
Do you love Here to Make Friends? Find us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to subscribe and give us a rating. We're also on Facebook and Instagram, so please follow us there. You can also find both of us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose. Or you can send us an email at heretomakefriends@huffpost.com.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week for more Paradise. Stay tuned.